This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. Episode 213, to be exact, coming to you from the rental mobile studio. I'm actually in a rental car right now, not the normal Handgun World mobile studio. So anyway, I'm just going to use up a little drive time here to do the introduction. I got a great interview with my co-host Ben Branham, and we talked about some of the gun control stuff. And we did that, obviously, several days ago, so I'm just kind of recording this as an intro to get this whole thing set up. Before I get into that, though, there's some really cool stuff going on that you need to be aware of. First of all, you need to know that if you've been, well, some of you are new and you haven't been following my show that long, and I know I've been getting a lot of emails from people. My background is just an everyday guy. It does not come from being a cop or being a military guy or a gunsmith or anything like that. I'm just a guy that had a thought one day to do a podcast and start talking about my feelings and my experiences with handguns about 3.5 years ago. And it's worked out pretty well. And, of course, this has opened up a lot of doors for me to become a firearms trainer, which I am a part-time firearms trainer. I'm just a sales guy. That's my primary job, folks. I just run around Texas and Louisiana selling hotel security products. I'm a road warrior. So as I'm in this rental car headed out to an appointment, I'm doing this introduction. But the stuff I want to tell you that's going on, Ben Branham and I are happy to announce that both of our upcoming training classes, wouldn't you know it, I get a phone call while I'm doing this. Oh, that's one I can get back to. Let me kind of... There we go. Both of our training classes are half full. We just got a lot of sign-ups in the last few days. They are half full. March 16th in San Antonio and March 2nd in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. If you go to handgunworld.com, you'll see the locations and all the requirements necessary for Beyond Concealed Carry. So go to handgunworld.com, click Beyond Conceal Carry page, and you'll see everything there as well as a sign-up link. It's $150 to spend the day with Ben and I, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. Also, time's running out for the Shooters Club. If you want to win a ticket to three classes, you could win a ticket to Close Range Gunfighting with Suarez International that I'm teaching. Suarez International's Close Range Gunfighting 2-day course worth $450. Point Shooting Progressions taught by Roger Phillips of Suarez International worth $450. Or you could win a 1-day class to any of the classes that we're doing after March that Ben and I are doing for the rest of the year, either in Dallas, San Antonio, and maybe even Houston coming up. So three winners that I'm going to be selecting from the Shooters Club members. Plus, you're going to get all kinds of great videos and audio podcasts that are unique. We've never covered this information before, ever, on the Handgun World Podcast, and you can get signed up for that. So check that out. Click Shooters Club at handgunworld.com, and you can see how to get signed up for that. And proceeds will help also support the show and support the work that me and Ben Branham do. So last week, I did a call to action. And Ben and I, excuse me, not last week. Last week I did a call to action. It was just me. I did some voicemails and so forth, which I'll do some more voicemails next week because I've received a few. But it was about gun control, and it was about how we can fight back and some of my thoughts. Well, Ben and I got together after lunch recently. We spent some more time talking about what we can do to try to fight back. We also talked a little bit about educating people. And educating especially people who are not familiar with guns. Some people who have never even shot a gun before are out trying to argue against the Second Amendment. Can you believe that? Boy, that just frustrates me. I mean, that just really, it really pisses me off. I'm sorry to use that kind of language, but it does. It just really pisses me off when you got these knuckleheads. And you could tell they've never shot a gun before by what they say. Because, you know, they say stuff that's so elementary. They say stuff that is so absolute elementary if you've even shot a gun or had some basic instruction, but they haven't. You can tell. You can tell just by what they say. Like, for example, many of them don't know the difference between a semi-automatic and an automatic weapon. They got no clue that semi-automatic means one trigger pull, one round fired. That's it. They have no clue that an AR-15 basically functions the same as a semi-automatic deer rifle. It's the same function. Just because it looks scary doesn't mean that it operates any different. Most people have no clue that semi-automatic weapons have been around since right around the time of World War I. You can trace them back. If you do a history search, you can trace them back to right around the World War I era. I mean, and also think about this. When was the semi-automatic 1911 invented? It was invented before 1911. It was put into service in 1911, but it was invented before that, over 100 years ago. So these knuckleheads want to ban technology over 100 years old, and they have no clue what they're talking about, and you can tell. So get someone to the range. The one thing I want to say as I set up this interview between Ben and I, get somebody to the range. Get as many people as you can to the shooting range and to own a gun as you possibly can. I am still convinced, no matter what the president says, no matter what any of these talking heads say about gun control, I am still convinced that if we create more gun owners, it is going to be much more difficult for the government to pass any law restricting those guns. And even if the president tries an executive order, there's going to be a lot more pushback. And I think what you need to do is, if you have not joined the Second Amendment Foundation, which is, in my opinion, they are the 800-pound gorilla in the court system for gun rights. The Second Amendment Foundation knows how to win lawsuits to preserve gun rights. And I got a feeling if the president tries executive orders, there's going to be a lot of action going on in the courts. Please support the Second Amendment Foundation. Join the Second Amendment Foundation. I am a life member. Join the NRA. Donate some more to the NRA if you can. Doesn't matter if you don't agree with everything that they do or say. They're the 800-pound gorilla politically to help you protect your rights. And, you know, Tom Gresham at Gun Talk has set off a system of writing your congressmen and your senators once a week for like the next 6 to 8 weeks or something like that. I haven't dug into all the details, but what a great idea. I've already contacted my congressman and both of my senators. Please do the same and let them know you will be voting against them. On Facebook, I put my letter on Facebook, my email that I sent to my congressman. Somebody thought it was a little bit too harsh. Too harsh? You know, basically I said, I'm going to vote against you if you vote for gun control, and I'm going to use this podcast to encourage other people to vote against you and your colleagues. Well, I don't know why that's too harsh. These people work for us. They don't work for anybody else. They work for us. It's what we want that matters. And think about the gay rights people. Boy, they're pretty harsh, aren't they? Don't they go around imposing their ideas, and you know what? They win. The abortion rights people, they're harsh. I mean, basically, they're out there trying to impose their beliefs. Whether you believe in it or not, they're imposing their beliefs. And they're basically ramming it down our throats that we have to accept what they think. The gay rights people, hey, you got to accept gay marriage. No matter what you think, you got to accept it. Why don't we do the same thing? Why don't we, who like firearms, who believe in the Second Amendment, which, by the way, there's an amendment that says we have the right to own a gun. There's not really an amendment that clearly states that gays can get married. There's not an amendment that clearly states that people can have, that ladies can have an abortion. But there is an amendment that specifically says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And by the way, for those of you who say, well, they were talking about militias, they meant that militias have the right to keep and bear arms. George Mason was the co-author of the Second Amendment. And George Mason said, and you can look this up, George Mason said that if you strip the people of their right to be armed, that's how you can enslave them. He was the co-author of the Second Amendment, and he talked about that's how you can enslave people, is by stripping their right to be armed. The Second Amendment is about the citizenry being armed so that they cannot be enslaved. That's what it's about. It's not about hunting, folks. So all these knuckleheads saying, why do you need a 30-round magazine to be a hunter? It's not what it's about. We don't need a 30-round magazine to be a hunter. Although, I tell you what, if you've ever gone hog hunting, how many of you listen to this right now have ever gone hog hunting? How many of you ever hunted feral hogs, wild pigs? If you're hog hunting, you understand why you need a 30-round magazine for hunting. Yes, there are reasons you need a 30-round magazine for hunting. You'll know. Just go hog hunting and you'll see what I'm talking about. But that's not what the Second Amendment is about. It's not about hunting. So I wish people would knock off these arguments about why do you need a 30-round magazine to go hunting. That's not why we need 30-round magazines. We need 30-round magazines in case there's more than one person trying to attack us. We need a 15 or a 17-round mag in our handgun in case we're using our handgun to defend ourselves in our home and there's three intruders. And it happens all the time. Okay, anyway, let me get off that. Here comes a quick intermission or sound effect of some sort, and then Ben Branham and I are going to hash this out a little bit more. Stay tuned. Well, Ben Branham's back for the umpteenth time, I guess, right, Ben?
Yeah, I can't count how many now.
Well, thanks. First of all, I want to thank you for all the middle of the week shows that you do, and helping me out with these interviews and things like that, and being a terrific co-instructor. It's working out great. Thanks.
I just appreciate the time to talk to everybody. You guys out there are a blast. I get emails from everybody, and I get feedback, and I'm just having fun. I probably should pay you to do this.
Well, that's what it's about. It's about having fun. So we wanted to get together to talk about the Sandy Hook shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, and all the gun control and everything that's being proposed. You know, I talked a little bit about this last week, and I promised that I would have more on it because I think it's important that we mobilize in a big way. But what are your initial thoughts now that some of the emotions seem to have simmered a little bit? What are your initial thoughts, Ben?
I'm still having problems with it. I still want to puke, to be honest. I ignored it through the Christmas holidays and stuff, and I did a lot of background checking and actually fact-finding and research yesterday just to do this podcast with you, and it still just wants... The whole thing, it just makes me want to puke. I'm just... Ugh. And there's stuff that I can't say now that I'm a self-defense instructor. It's kind of funny. As a Marine, I would sit around and we'd see this stuff, and we'd get just as mad. But then, as a Marine, we'd sit around and talk about, okay, if we were there, what would we do? And then we'd talk about actively tactics, team tactics, squad, company, all that stuff on what we'd do. And then over a beer that night, we'd also talk about what we'd do if we found that guy and we got in a room by ourselves with him. And then you can use that bravado and we can actually vent our anger by just kind of talking about, you know, pulling out his fingernails or something like that. And I'm trying to be really nice because what I really want to do with that guy, yeah, I probably shouldn't say on a recording anywhere that I could get in trouble for later. But, yeah, and now he's dead. But now what? And I even get more mad at our leaders and our politicians that we want to throw one solution and one solution only. And whether you believe in gun control or not, and I know most of you out there probably don't because you're listening to the Handgun World Show, hello, dumbass. You're proposing one solution to this hugely complex problem. You know, hey, let's get it together and have a discussion about how to stop this, how to never let this happen again.
Well, and their answer to never letting this happen again is, oh, well, let's just control guns. And, like you said, most people listening to this know that that's bogus. But on the off chance that there's somebody listening to this that still might think that gun control is a good idea, let's speak to those people for just a minute. I want to start off by saying this. everywhere gun control has been tried, it's failed, including here in the U.S. with the first so-called assault weapons ban from 94 to 2004. It didn't make any difference whatsoever. But furthermore, really, if you're listening to this show right now and you think that maybe some gun control might be a good idea, I have a question that I want to ask you. And that is, what criminal is going to obey any law that these politicians pass?
I won't even go theoretical on you. I'll talk to you. The first one that I ever studied about these school shootings was Columbine. Did a huge report on it for school, and that was smack in 99, right in the middle of the first assault weapons ban that Dianne Feinstein is trying to put back in there and just make it a little bit stronger, a little bit tighter. It's really not that much difference than the last one. And right in the middle, there was a higher body count at Columbine than there was at Sandy Hook.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's, you know what? Say that again. I want to reiterate something. That crime happened right in the middle of the assault weapons ban, and there was a higher body count. Interesting. Keep going.
So it didn't work at all. I mean, come on. And then China totally outlawed guns. What was it, 3 days before Sandy Hook, they had some madman run in with a knife. And originally it was 22 kids were killed, and now Chinese media is saying, oh, there was only 22 injured after Sandy Hook. They changed the story. Why? Because it's a freaking mess, and the Chinese government controls the media. So, you know, I'll bet the original 22 dead is probably closer to it. So they completely outlaw guns. Happened there. Going the other way, the worst school tragedy ever was a bombing in 1929, where the custodian had spent months putting pieces of this bomb together and pretty much dynamite in the school basement and set it off. And then after that went off and everybody gathered outside and the people that survived got out, he drove his car up full of a bomb and he set that off.
You mean he didn't use an assault weapon?
Yeah, and that's the worst tragedy ever, and there was no firearm involved.
I think there were 38 killed in that one.
So, I mean, that's by far that was the worst one, and that just, so the gun control thing, it doesn't work. I mean, it just, we have, 10 years ago, this conversation was a lot different. It was all theoretical. Now we have all this data from England, from Australia, from our assault weapons ban that was between 94 and 2004, and you can tell where it's worked and where it hasn't and where it has failed and where it's not. And then you can tell that these guys, these crazy guys, are thinking about this when they do these freaking, when they go, I don't know how to say it, when evil acts is the only thing I think of. When they act as evil, they are looking to do as much evil and kill as many people as possible. Look at the guy that went to the Batman shooting. And I'm not going to say any names because I freaking hate that the media puts these guys' name and pictures up.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's part of our problem. Not the problem, but part of it. He went by, he drove from his house past one movie theater, didn't go to the biggest theater, went to the theater where it has no gun signs. He could have gone to the bigger theater in the area, which was only a couple more miles past where he already drove, to get more body count. But he specifically went to the one that had the sign that says no guns in Colorado. I mean, that's all I can think of. I mean, of course, he's freaking whacked out now and trying to say that he's nuts and he doesn't remember anything for the months leading into this. But I'm sure that had to be. Why would he drive past one movie theater that was about the same size to get to this theater when the first movie theater didn't have the no gun sign and the second one had the no gun sign? And if he really wanted the higher body count, why wouldn't he have driven another two miles, something like that, down the road to a bigger movie theater that had even more people in it to kill?
Yeah.
But that one didn't have a no gun sign. So I can show you cases, and that's what, I mean, most of you guys, I'm not trying to convince you, I'm preaching to the choir, you know, but you need to sit down and have these conversations with people that think gun control is the way, because we just want to blame evil on something, and we have to do something. And the president is right. We got to do something. But the problem is, every time we act out of fear and anger, it's just never the right. Has it ever been the right thing? I mean, think about in your own life, when you've ever acted out of fear and anger, has it ever really gone well for you?
No, it's not. And you know, the something that we have to do is not ban guns or ban magazines. The something that we have to do is figure out how to get more help to the people like these people who go out and commit these crimes. That's the root of the problem. The root of the problem is not the guns. And we're kind of preaching to the choir. So let's talk about some action that we feel that people need to take. You know, last week's podcast was a call to action. And so in that podcast, you know, I encouraged people to take some action. Well, let me tell you something that you may or may not know. I've been looking up some news here. Senator Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, is considering changing the Senate rules for the gun control vote. Right now, it's going to take 60 votes in the Senate to get anything passed out of that to avoid a filibuster. Well, he's thinking about changing the rules and using what's called the nuclear option that would only require 50 votes. And I think he thinks he's probably got a pretty good chance of getting 50 votes because all the Democrats would vote for it and he could probably strong arm a few others. So the bottom line is, you know, you got Harry Reid, you got Feinstein, you got all these politicians trying all these dirtiest, devious tricks to get their gun control passed. They see this as a huge, huge opportunity. And even though this is a big wake-up call, folks, I think that we need to fight harder than ever now. You need to absolutely badger your elected representatives. And somebody put a Facebook post, put a comment on my Facebook post where I put up my email that I sent. Somebody said, well, that's a little bit harsh, isn't it, Bob? I'm tired of being nice. I really am. Why should we be nice about this? Nice is not going to get us anywhere. The gay rights people are nice. Are not nice. The abortion rights people are not nice. They are in your face. They impose their beliefs on everybody. I mean, I'm not picking on a certain sexual affiliation. But come on, folks. Everybody out there who is a gay rights supporter, they're obnoxious about it, aren't they? I mean, they're in your face about it. Why shouldn't we be the same? Why shouldn't we take a page out of their playbook? And let's push back, and let's push back hard. What do you think?
I'm with you, and I think, and I don't want to be polarized because it's not Democrats and versus Republicans. It's almost us versus them at this point. And I don't know. I'm just going to be mean. Those dumbasses forgot who they work for.
Yes, they did. We need to remind them of that.
Yeah, we as a society need to stand up, and to do that, it's not. I've written letters, and I'm going to continue to write letters, and I'll probably make some phone calls this week. And for you guys don't know, this is the week. What week are we in?
Well, today's Friday, January 4th.
Thank you. I don't even know what day it was. But I'm going to call them next week. I'm going to write another letter this weekend. And I'm pretty nice in my letters. But what we really need to do is talk to our fellow Americans. Here in Texas, it's almost not worth it because most people, I mean, they're all gun people pretty much. But I've had some cool opportunities to talk to other people about it. I had one of our friends, our close family friends, she's kind of like, I don't know, guns are okay, and I guess I should learn how to shoot. She went to my entry-level class, and she wants to learn how to use guns, but it's her husband who's in the military. Well, she's asking me about the school shooting, about how do we stop this, and about, so it opens the door to have these conversations. And after having a conversation with her about, and she's a teacher, so I got a kindergarten teacher too, by the way. So talk about hitting home for her. So I got to talk to her about this, and all of a sudden she's like, well, yeah, it doesn't sound like banning guns are the answer. Why are they doing that? And so I get to have this conversation with her about, hey, these guys, they just want to control you pretty much. And I don't see any other reason for banning all the guns in the world besides the ones that they carry. Then they want to control you.
Now, you know, the example you just used, Ben, that's a case where you should be nice, and you were nice. You know, when a citizen asks you a question about, hey, why are they banning these guns, you know, that's the time to be nice. That's the time to be, you know, diplomatic. That's the time to have a soft approach. I do not think it's time to have a soft approach with our politicians who are going to vote on this.
And I'm with you, write letters. I don't think whether you scream and yell at them whether you are nice. I tried to be nice to him. I wrote him and said, hey, look, nothing ever is good happened from anger. I expect you to stand up and be a leader in the House and the Senate and wait till at least March till you even have this debate. The country needs to grieve, and we need to figure out what's going on. Let your local officials do what they want to do to put things in, and you support them because they're the ones on the ground. They're the ones that are standing there. They're the ones that can solve this problem right now. What they don't... And I had this problem, too, with other people, and they forget. The bigger the entity, the longer it takes to move. And overseas, I had the problem. The Army always wanted to do something huge. We've got security issues that need to be solved, and they form a committee. They sit down and talk about it for a week or two, and then they come up with something that actually, to the Army's, they come up with some great solutions. The only problem is it would take 2 to 3 months to put that solution in play. So, same thing. They're saying gun control is the way. We're going to keep your kids safe by banning guns and by confiscating guns. Well, how freaking long is that going to take?
Well, yeah, I see your point. Let me point out something that's really disturbing. There's a news report of a church in Dallas that has organized a gun buyback program. Now, this is particularly disturbing to me. First of all, one reason why it's disturbing is it's right here in the great gun-friendly state of Texas. It's in Dallas. They're organizing a gun buyback program, and they think that they're doing something good. They estimate that they've collected now, looks like a couple thousand guns or something like that. Well, what are they achieving by this? You know, they're disarming good citizens. You know, first of all, when a church organizes a gun buyback program, who is it they're taking the guns away from? You know, are the people in their congregation the ones that are going out committing these heinous crimes? So they're disarming the church-going folks in their congregation who are probably not the ones that are going to go out and commit these mass shootings.
Gun buybacks are a huge joke, and we could do a whole podcast on that. First of all, let's talk about the dumbass things that they do, like give you $200 for a semi-automatic rifle that's worth $50. I might do that.
I'll give them $200 for their...
What the report says is a semi-automatic, quote, assault rifle. Of course, they don't know what assault rifle is, so my little 10/22 that doesn't work right now that I bought for $100, they're going to give me $200 for it, and it's broken? Well, hell... Hello, you know, what are they doing? Dummies. They're going to give me $200 to go buy a new gun that actually works. The other thing that the gun, this one doesn't say, but most of them all advertise, no questions asked, turn in your gun. Well, who the heck do you think is turning into a gun with no questions asked? The gangbanger on the corner walks down and goes, hey man, here's my gun, no questions asked, give me $200. Well, he just used it to murder 3 people.
Yeah. Now listen to this ridiculous quote. This is done by, I think, a guy named Bruce Buchanan. Okay? And he's in Dallas. Listen to this. This is what he says. He says, to know a family that has lost a child to an accidental gun death, and you know that taking one gun away from a shoebox in the back of a closet makes a big difference. Really? So in other words, somebody who lost a child to an accidental gun death, so by taking the gun away that's in the shoebox in the back of a closet, that makes a difference? Really? So was it that gun in the back of the closet that accidentally fired itself and killed a kid? This guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, let's go back to the numbers. Firearms accidents have been down over 50% in the last 10 or 20 years. Accidental injuries and accidental deaths are down over 50%. So, what's going on? What's working? I don't know. Maybe the education that should be there. Maybe educating people about guns. I mean, there was one... Where was it? It was probably Phoenix or Arizona area because they kind of do crazy things. But there was one group, and it was a... God, what was it? Anyways, the group was trying to advocate that in high school, as part of like their health class, that they would learn gun safety. To get out of high school, you had to understand gun safety. I mean, why is that so bad? Why is that so evil? Why do we even not think about doing that? Guns are everywhere in our society. Just the way it is. That's life.
And you know, Ben, you just mentioned something that's very important. You said the word education. I think the way we're going to win this gun battle fight gun control fight. The way we're going to win this is by educating. Because there's a lot of lies, misinformation. I don't know if it's purposeful or if it's ignorance or whatever it is. But there's a lot of terrible misinformation out there as to what today's firearms actually do. And I think by educating both the public and even some of our politicians, I think that's how we're going to win the battle. What do you think?
I don't think you're going to ever educate our politicians. I'm really...
Yeah, maybe I'll take that back.
Since 2005, I've been sick of our politicians up there in the national level.
So why should we be nice to them anymore?
I don't know. I don't have a good reason for that. Maybe we need to remind them that, hey, knucklehead, you work for us. You need to stop doing what... But then I think it's going to have to be a... We can't... As a subculture right here, the little subculture that listens to gun shows, that actually goes to the range that shoots, that trains, that's very safe with guns, is very active in the gun, we are a small subculture of a subculture. We really are. And so, you know, you have something like 8,000 listeners, and, well, 8,000 compared to 300 million...
That's nothing.
...is a really small kick in the bucket. But 8,000 people that get 8,000 people... with them to move, they get another 8,000 people to move, they get another 8,000 people to move, and it becomes this huge number all of a sudden where we can actually affect what a society looks like. And we can do things like the media, not just, I've been trying to comment on some of their stupidity that they're out there and some of the stuff that I've found, but not just commenting, how about we just don't buy their paper?
Ah, okay.
How about... CNN, if you're going to print lies, I'm not going to your website anymore. That knucklehead in Washington, D.C. that wants to hold up the 30-round magazine after he was told that he can't have the exception to the law, breaks the law, commits a freaking felony on national TV. Nobody's got the guts to go in there and arrest his dumb ass. And we're going to let that pass. Send an email to their editor and say, hey, when your people quit committing felonies, I might think about watching your show again.
Good point. Yeah, I like what you're saying. You know, we've got to get very, very active. And active means more than just writing your local politicians. Yes, writing the politicians is very important. And by the way, don't just write them once. Send them every week. Call them every week. The closer that this bill gets to being voted on, if it ever does get to be voted on, badger the crap out of them every other day. But it goes beyond that. You got to start talking to some other people. Like you mentioned, okay, there's about 8,000 people listening to this show. You know, give or take a few hundred every week. Well, now, if everybody who listens to this show goes out and talks to one more person, now we're reaching 16,000. Then if they go, now we're reaching more and more and more. So it's basically like a tidal wave. We need to start this tidal wave right now.
And explain to your friends why. Don't use the talking points from the NRA. Don't use the talking points from the gun owners of America.
Right.
Or even NSSF. I love most of the groups, but they're all a bunch of talking points to try to get rid of the other talking points on the other side. Have answers for the talking points from the negative side, and then explain why, and use some facts, use some figures, and then use yourself as an example. Well, I'm not going to watch that knucklehead on national news ever again. And they go, why? Well, I'm going to change the channel. And, you know, well, why would you do that? That's kind of stupid. Because he commits felonies on national TV. And I'm just not going to support by giving my eyeballs and talk and listening to people that can commit felonies on TV. Why would I ever want to listen to them give me the news? He's a freaking felon.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you go down to the prison and ask them what they think about life? Same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, I think you're right on track. And I think that what we need to do is we just need to get very, very active. I think that we will either defeat or severely water down whatever they try to push through. But we've got to stay in the fight. And it's an everyday fight, but part of the fight is educating people. You know, part of it is teaching people what a semi-automatic rifle is. You know, there are people that literally, and you know, those of you listening to this show, you might be scratching your head going, really? Somebody doesn't know what a semi-automatic rifle is? Yes, there's probably millions of people out in the country that don't know what a semi-automatic rifle is because they've never been taught. We need to teach them that it's one trigger pull, one round fired. That's it. Just because it looks like a military weapon does not mean that it operates like a military weapon.
And you got to be patient. And here's the one I mess up is the assault weapon. There's no legal definition of assault weapon. They make it up every time they open their mouth on the news and the politicians. They know it. They do it just to mess with you. They're freaking lying to you. And they're trying to manipulate you. And they don't care. They're doing it on purpose. They're trying to make you look stupid. And I don't understand why people... Because when I start talking to people about, well, there's no legal definition. Well, why do they say that? Because they're trying to manipulate you and to make you look stupid and to make you think that something is worse than it is and to make you think that it's a machine gun that our military is carrying into combat to kill lots and lots of people and that there's only one thing that they do is kill people. Well, even our machine guns in the hands of our soldiers don't do just kill people. Yes, they kill people, but they kill people to save people.
Exactly. And, you know, I got to agree with something that Wayne LaPierre from the NRA said. I wholeheartedly agree when he said the only thing that can stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. I think that was the best thing that he did in the press conference. I'm not so sure how I feel about the armed guards in schools. I'm kind of 50-50 on that. It could be a good idea, but a lot of federal government intrusion into that might not be a good thing. But I definitely agree that the best thing to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
Well, we need to kick it down to the local level. Every school is going to have a different challenge because of its location, because of its area, because of its design, because of the... It's just going to have a different challenge, a security challenge. You need to kick it to the local chief, the local sheriff, to people that will come in and do security assessments and let them come up with a plan to secure their school. We can't just say, oh, yeah, every school gets a police officer, a school resource officer, and I'm going to get... Some people are going to get really pissed on me for this, but since I study Columbine, the police officer on campus didn't work. Columbine was the catalyst that changed all law enforcement training. Those two idiots over there with their rifles, they went in and they started shooting up the school. Well, there was a police officer there for something else. He had come down to, I don't know, take a report on something. You know, cops go to schools all the time to take some miscellaneous paperwork report. He was there for that. Well, when he heard the shooting, he went there and he encountered both of them with rifles and they both started shooting at him and he shot back and then he retreated because he was way outgunned, two against one. He had a pistol, they had rifles, and they knew the school and he didn't. He retreated to call in SWAT and then they just surrounded the school and those two guys walked around the school killing all the people that they wanted to until they got bored pretty much and then they killed themselves. Well, so having a police officer on campus doesn't always work. And there's other times that I can tell you it has worked. The city that I grew up in, I was a volunteer with their police department, and I got to talk to the cop that happened to be on campus to do something else. And there was he got it filmed because there was a film crew on campus, too, on this school. Some lady decided she was going to do suicide by cop and do anything she needed to, including, so she took a 7-year-old kid hostage to try to do suicide by cop. So the cop that I know comes in, and for some reason he grabs a shotgun. He said, I never take my shotgun out of the trunk. I took it then. I don't know why, I just did. So he goes up there, and he doesn't know what's going on. He encounters this. The news media is standing there filming it. She's got a gun to the kid's head, and he's standing there with the shotgun going, okay, now what? And then all he's thinking is he gets behind this tree, and they're out in the open, and he's going to have to put down the shotgun by this tree, draw his pistol, and shoot this lady. The whole time, that's all he's thinking is, when am I going to be able to do this? When am I going to be able to do this?
Wow.
And then he's trying to talk to her, and then she just decides, okay, I don't want to play anymore, and she gives up and lets the kid go. And then after they interviewed her and talked to her, why'd she give up? The shotgun was too big a hole. She was afraid of the shotgun. Even though she had gone there to die that day, she was afraid of the shotgun. So kind of crazy. It works both ways. It's worked. I mean, that's very, very efficient, where he shows up with the shotgun, and they talk
changes her mind.
Yeah, and she goes, okay, I don't want to play anymore. And why the kid's still traumatized, it would be even more traumatized if that police officer had to shoot her and he had blood from her splatter all over him for the rest of his life. I mean, it's nasty, nasty we're talking about. She's holding this kid hostage, and he was going to shoot her over him because he's, you know, he's short. He's only about waist high to her. So it really wasn't a hard shot. But, I mean, the kid's going to have enough trauma as it is that he was kidnapped and held at gunpoint. It would be even more trauma if he had to watch that girl, that lady, die in front of him and then had the blood splattered on him, you know, all that stuff that goes with it. So it's just, I don't know, the police officer that... What I'm trying to get around is there's no one answer to this whole problem.
No, there's not.
There's not going to be a one-size-fits-all answer.
But it seems like everybody's pigeonholing into one solution, and that is, got to ban the guns.
And, well, and then the other side, too, us on the gun side, we're like pigeonholed into one side. We're just, you know, let everybody have a gun. There's no one answer to fit this, and it's got to be different in every location, and you got to get a good discussion going. And this is where our leaders are severely lacking in the country, and I'm very, very angry for them. You know, let's get together and have a discussion. Well, you know, when I'm taught in the military, let's get together and have a discussion to solve a problem. First, you define the problem. What's the problem? Well, people are going into schools killing people. We need to stop that. Okay? Now, how are we going to do that? You stand there in front of a freaking whiteboard, and you start bouncing ideas off the wall. Well, gun control. All right, there's one idea. There's one circle off of our problem. What's another one? Oh, mental health issues. Okay, we got to look at that. What's another one? Armed security guards at the school. Okay, what's another one? Barricading doors or having huge steel gates to be able to lock down the whole school and make it impenetrable. Okay, there's a possible solution. You know, and you go through with all these really smart people and you come up with, you know, 20, 30 different possible, no matter how out there, solutions they seem to be. Well, you know, and even having, well, we have a SWAT team on call 24/7 at each school. You know, even stuff like that. And you're like, okay, well, now let's go to what's really going to work and what's not. And let's look at this and let's look at that. And then you don't come up with the one size fits all. You come up with a plan A, B, C, D, E, F. And then you come up with, well, plan A works for this area. Plan B works over here, plan C works over here, and you can actually have these good discussions and figure out how to solve this problem. They're not interested in solving the problem.
No, they're not.
I'm really upset about them. And the other one I'm really upset with that I actually saw, and I don't think this was right, but I was doing all this research, and I saw that there was some fringe group that said that the government had actually planned this and pushed it through because of the timing and everything and where it was and Congress coming back into session and all that other stuff. And they actually, that somebody had actually planned this and made it happen and kind of pushed this guy, prodded him, like CIA, kind of Jack Bauer, weird, crazy, you know, down and, you know, gross stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any merit to any of that. What made me sick about it was that the people on that side of the argument about gun control are so high on their horse, that they're so high and mighty, that they think that they are so right and you are so wrong, and that they will do anything
to get their agenda,
that they would actually do that.
Yeah.
And that was what really made me sick on that whole thing, is that they would, that it's possible, and there's leaders and our elected leaders that would freaking do that. There's people on the anti-gun side that would freaking do that.
Well, there are.
I got news for you. There's people on the gun side that would do that too.
Yeah.
We need to stomp that all out on both sides and say, you know, that is unacceptable that we would say that 22 kids lie or 20 kids' lives are worth whatever our agenda is. No, it's not.
No, it's not. Now, you mentioned something a few minutes ago, Ben, that I think is very important. You mentioned something about, you know, the local districts taking care of the safety of their schools. Well, let's expand on that for a minute, but let's go beyond schools. You know, we've all heard the saying that all politics is local. And just today I heard the news that the Attorney General here in Texas is going to basically tell the federal government to go screw themselves if they pass gun control. I didn't catch the entire report, but he is going to file some kind of a lawsuit to block any gun control based on the fact that it's unconstitutional. And I think that's a fantastic move. Where I would see that going is I would see that going all the way to the United States Supreme Court. And I can tell gun control advocates something right now. I don't think you people want the courts to make the decision as to what kind of gun control we're going to have, because I don't think the courts would actually give the gun grabbers what they really want. So, you know, one of the things that you guys need to do as you're listening to this, pressure also your state representatives, your state senators, your governors, and your mayors, pressure them as well.
That would be a great idea. Start pushing it up. And then if we want to look long term, start looking at all those guys. You know, those guys feed straight up. I mean, we're here in Texas. You know, most of our governors have turned into presidents. So it feeds straight up the pipeline, and these people get into politics and decide, I'm going to be a politician. So they get in, they get elected at the city county level, and then they get elected at the state level, and then they move into the Senate or the House, and then, you know, they try to become president. Well, they're coming right there. So if you defeat them at your city level, it would stop them right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's shift gears a minute. Ben, now that you've had a chance to look into this Sandy Hook shooting and kind of study it, if you could pick three things that you would say was the cause of this, what do you think those, what would you say are the top three reasons why this guy did this?
Besides just straight evil?
Well, if that's one of them, that he's straight evil, okay.
You know, I'm not really sure, and this is where I have a problem, because that's not my expertise. Sociology and psychology, my expertise is when evil acts, I can stop it. I'd say straight up, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. The Bible is true. The Bible says that evil will come among us, that the devil has come here to kill, maim, and destroy. There you go. He's acting through his minions in this guy to kill as many people as he can. And it kind of, on the other side too, is that if you read the book of Revelations at the end of the Bible, the very end, it says, you know, we win, everybody that's a believer is into heaven, and everybody has a great party, and it's going to be the, you know, no more suffering, no more evil, no more pain. But right before that, it does say that wars and evil on earth is going to get worse and worse until the end of times.
I'm 100% in agreement with you on all that too.
So everybody wants a reason. We want something that we can point at. The only other two things I can really think about is there's no system to get help. We've gone so far to protecting the mentally ill and the mentally disabled and all this other stuff that we can't do things. 10 years ago, there was a shooting in Austin where a mentally disturbed woman, and she had some, I forget, I'm not even going to mention a disease or something because I don't know, but she was really mentally retarded, and she's one of the people that needs to be helped for the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the police officer gets a call that somebody was beating up somebody else. He shows up on the scene, and this mentally disturbed lady that he doesn't know anything about, never seen her before, she's on top of somebody else trying to stab this other person with a knife. So he shot her. I mean, you roll up on the scene, and somebody is trying to stab somebody else with a knife, and you say, stop, police, and they keep trying to stab that person. He makes this great shot, shoots her, ends up killing her, saves the life of the person that was there. Well, the problem is, this was a mentally retarded person. You can't shoot mentally retarded people.
Mm-hmm, no.
What are you thinking? When they're freaking going to kill people...
Yeah, why can't you stop them from killing somebody?
Yeah, so, and then that's where we are right now. These mentally disturbed people, we can't do anything until they act. I mean, there's the story that went out all over Facebook about the lady that took the mother's, Lazarus is her name? I forget her name. Anyways, she took the mother's name and said, I'm the mother of this kid that killed all these people at Sandy Hook, and I'm afraid of my kid. I call the police for help. And they say, you know, we can't do anything until they act.
Well, she's the one that wrote the blog post, I'm Adam Lanza's mother.
Yeah.
Sorry I had to say his name, but for purposes of talking about this subject, we had to.
But go read that, because she's got a teenager that's mentally disturbed, and she knows when he goes into his dark places, she has to hide all the knives. She has lockdown drills and procedures for her other kids in the house, so her other kids don't get killed by her one kid. I think she's got three kids. No, two, whatever. One of them's got problems. The other one's okay. But she has lockdown procedures for her own house to protect her other family members from people in the house. She's afraid that her kid is going to kill her in her sleep. She goes to the local police, and they're like, yeah, give us a call when he actually does something. We can't help you until then.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And then when she does, when he does do something, like the couple times he's came at her with a knife, the cops come out and go, well, okay, we'll arrest him and charge him with a felony, you know, assault with a deadly weapon and attempted murder. Well, which, what parent wants to have their kids arrested on a felony charge, assault with a deadly weapon, and then it goes to court, and the only thing you can do to get help for your kid is to stand up there and say, yes, my son's a felon, and he needs to go to prison for a long time.
It's way too late to be getting help at that point.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
There needs to be a system in place to help these. Help us. She's desperately crying out, knows that her kid is going to be evil and do evil acts and hurt people, and she's desperately crying out for help. But what do we do as a society? We tell her, you know, sorry, we got to protect those mentally ill people. I'm sorry if you're going to die. I'm sorry if your kid's going to die. I'm sorry if your kid's going to be the next kid that goes to a school and kills everybody. But we'll take care of him once that happens.
And you just made a fantastic point. And what part of gun control would help that out?
Oh, there's...
Nothing.
Gun control doesn't help.
No, it wouldn't help. And so, good points. All right, so let's shift gears one more time. What would you tell listeners to be buying right now?
I'm going to go completely on the opposite there, and I'm going to tell you, stop, take a breath. People went flipping nuts. You cannot find an AR magazine to save your life. I don't even think Cheaper Than Dirt has them anymore for $100 a magazine, and I was buying those for 12 bucks at the beginning of December. Now they're over $100, and you can't even buy them for that price. 223 ammo. I was buying that stuff for $4.99 a box. Just talked to one of the local gun stores. They're selling it for $20 a box now.
Wow.
Rifles that I was, because I was helping out at a local gun store too, I'm trying to sell a rifle for $850. Couldn't sell it the week before Sandy Hook. The week after Sandy Hook, that gun store sold out of that same rifle and sold them for $1,600 and $1,700 a piece. He just kept upping the price as people were buying them like crazy.
And people were paying it too.
And people were paying it. So everybody out there, hold on, take a breath. If you don't have any magazines for your rifle and you don't have any ammo, you need to have some. You might want to bite the bullet and think about, I'd say think about a Marine's loadout. 7 filled magazines. Let's just use a simple combat loadout right there. 7 magazines and enough ammo to fill them all. Well, that's what Marines are issued and what they're loaded out for war as a basic
loadout. So that's 210 rounds.
Sure. 7 times 30 is, 210 minus 2 per magazine. Yeah, so whatever.
Oh, yeah, you got to download them to 28.
Yeah,
okay.
So either way, so you need 210 rounds and 7 magazines and a rifle that runs. If you don't have a rifle, take a breath, relax. If you don't have magazines for your Glock, you might want to go out and buy some magazines if you can find them.
Even though they're up to around 40 bucks. Oh. I've seen some Glock 17, Glock 19, and some Glock 22 mags. But they're up around $40. But look, if all you have is the 2 or 3 magazines that came with your pistol, I would say get more. What's a Marine's loadout for your pistol?
I like 4 magazines for my pistol.
Okay, so at least 4.
4 magazines, fill those up with good ammo. If you got 9mm, you need to have hollow points. If you got a 40, you can find some hollow points. If you got a 45, don't worry about it. Just buy a 230 grain FMJ ball, whatever you can get. You're good. Anything is better than nothing. And just relax.
Any ammo is better than no ammo, yeah. But I like your concept of relaxing. Relax and wait for everything to cool down a little while, huh?
Yeah, and I got to tell you, and when it start after the week after Sandy Hook, when everybody went nuts, I was like, well, maybe I should get another P-Mag or something. And so I went into a couple of local stores. They're all sold out. And I started talking to the one store owner, and he's a real cool guy. He showed me his new SCAR 16 rifle that he got all set up and everything. So we were talking about that, and I'm like, do you have magazines? He goes, yeah, but I can't buy them right now. I can't even buy them from a distributor to get them myself. And I'm going, yeah, I don't, you know, I'm here looking for them, but I don't really need them. And he goes, yeah, me neither. And I thought about, I've got 40 or 50 magazines for my 2 ARs at home. And I'm out looking for more. Why? Just because everybody else. So we kind of all get in that panic. We all feel that panic. I wish I had bought more 223 rounds. I have enough 9mm and 7.62 rounds for my AK stocked for at least a year. So I'm good on that. I'm relaxing there. I'm still kind of out there hunting for bargains. I found some at Walmart and I bought them. And I tell you what, if I might capitalize on that stuff that I bought for Walmart, because I bought it at $20 a box, if I can sell it for $60, I might do that.
Hey, go to the gun show, you'll sell it for $60.
And honestly, I might do that just because I know that things are going to come back down, especially the ammo. They're not even talking about anything. The only thing that would make ammo harder to get right now is if they put a stamp per bullet, a per bullet tax stamp on them.
That's going to be hard to pass that too, though.
Yeah, but so the ammo, relax. If you've got some, you're okay. Don't go out and panic buy. Wait to find it at decent prices again. This happened in 08, 09. Prices will come back down. They did. Prices came back down on everything. It will. The same thing will happen. The only thing I'd say is if the ban is looming, if they actually pass the ban too, there will be a time, there'll be a slack time. There always is. You know, the government's too stupid to do something and stop it right now. They'll put the ban in place. It'll come out. The law will be voted on. President signs it and everything. And there'll be a 2 to 6 month waiting period before the law goes in effect. Well, then you might have to panic and get some more magazines or anything that's going to be outlawed. But at this point, take a breath, relax, don't buy anything, let this storm go a little bit, have enough ammo on hand just to feed your gun if you need it. If there's an emergency, have a couple magazines full of your self-defense ammo so that you can protect yourself. But anything else, just wait. It'll come back down.
I agree with you 99%. There's one thing I'm actively searching to buy. I'm kind of in panic mode to find one of these right now. I should have done this a long time ago, but I want a 22 conversion kit for my Glock 19 fourth generation. I need to track down an Advantage Arms 22 conversion kit, and I also want to get one of those 22 conversion bolts and a couple of 22 magazines to convert my AR to 22. The reason being is because 22 ammo is cheap. It'll always be cheap. It's kind of hard to find right now, but even if you find it, it doesn't cost much. And I can train like crazy with 22 during this panic situation.
Yeah, you can. And just me and Bob are still teaching classes, and that's going to be harder and harder to fill because people aren't going to have ammo they want to expend.
If you want to bring your 22 ammo to our class, you can. If you want to bring a 22 pistol and your ammo, you're welcome to.
Oh, yeah. Forgot to mention that. But remember that 90% of everything you do on your gun, you can train dry practice, and it doesn't cost you a cent. You don't even have to go to the range. You can do it at your house, so you can save all that expensive ammo right now for later and do all your dry practice and then go to the range just to have fun. Go to your range to do some serious training if you want to. For me, serious training is fun. I'm taking a course in 2 weeks in January out in Houston. It's their round count is 800 rounds. I'm going to take a case of ammo with me. Boy, that's expensive right now. But to me, that's a lot of fun, and I'm going to go have a blast at this course. And it's a handgun only course. I'm taking my Glock 19, and I'm going to have a blast, and I'm going to have fun. So when you go to the range, when you're going to spend a lot of money, go do it and have fun with it. Don't worry about the money so much. If you're going to train seriously, and just do a lot of dry practice. Train at your house. It's free, and it'll make you a better shooter.
Or use the 22 and train with a lot of 22, because that's not free, but it's awful cheap.
Yeah, at least you can get the feedback when you fire out on the target to see how small your groups are getting.
But yeah, exactly.
Even then, you can do the dry trigger press at home. Just press that trigger against the wall and watch the sights move. If the sights move, you're messing it up.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point about not panicking, Ben. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, obviously there's so many people panicking right now. And I'm kind of annoyed with some of the firearms retailers that are gouging people and taking advantage of the panic. Serious. I mean, you know what? If Cheaper Than Dirt right now all of a sudden decided to sell 30-round magazines at $15. I don't even think I'd buy any just because of the principle. Because I don't want to buy from those turkeys anymore because I think they're gouging people and taking advantage of it. And were they the online retailer that suspended gun sales? I know Dick's Sporting Goods did it, but Didn't Cheaper Than Dirt do it?
Yep, and that's why I'm no longer a customer, and I will no longer tell people to go to Cheaper Than Dirt.
Me too, same here.
And let's talk about, well, economics of gouging a little bit, because I'm a businessman, so I understand a little bit, and working in the gun shop helped me. The problem with the gouging, or we call it gouging, is that, you know, the my local gun shop started selling those for $1,600, $1,700 a piece. The problem is he bought them, you know, at $700. He was selling them at $850 to make a profit, right? Well, now the prices have all bumped up. So if he sells that rifle for $850, the next rifle he gets to replace that stock, he's going to have to buy for $1,500 or $1,600 if he can ever get it again. So that becomes the big deal. And now he is in a bidding contest with other gun stores to the manufacturers and to the distributors to get more rifles into his shop.
So what he's doing is he's raising his prices now to his replacement cost.
Right, and that way he can actually replace them. Because if he sold all his rifles at $850, he would never be able to replace them again, because now all of a sudden the price from his distributor, if he actually wants one, he needs to buy them for $1,200 a piece instead of $700 a piece. So he needs the influx of cash to go off of that. And so Cheaper Than Dirt about the magazines, I think they were a little bit, I don't know, economics, I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to really be mad at it for that. I'm mad at them because as soon as this happened and they started talking gun control, they said, we don't want to be in the gun business anymore. So that's what they really are. Same with Dick's Sporting Goods. As soon as this happened, they decided, oh, we don't want to be with those people. And when they say those people, they're being freaking racist towards you, the listener. They don't want to associate with you, the person that carries a gun for self-defense. They don't want to associate with you, that person that likes the black rifle, that thinks it's cool to have an AR, to go shoot, to do whatever, to run three-gun matches, to do carbine matches like me and Bob are going to go shoot tomorrow. They don't want to associate with you. They're freaking being a bigot towards you.
And you know what? You used the word racist, and that's kind of what it's like. Even though we have people of all races that shoot guns, they're sort of treating us as some kind of a subhuman race because we're firearms lovers.
Yeah, and what's the difference? So what's the definition of racism? You hate people because of their skin, race, creed, color, culture?
Yeah, culture. Yeah.
They hate us because of our culture.
That's right.
No
they
other
do.
Reason.
And
so.
Yet they. It's funny because, you know, here we are, Cheaper Than Dirt. We're talking about them. And, you know, they're in the, quote, firearms business, and they do something like suspend sales? What's up with that?
Yep, so I'm no longer a customer of them. I used to tell people to go to them all the time. I liked flipping through their magazine. Yeah, I told them to take me off of your unsubscribe, and when you hit unsubscribe from their email, they want to know why. You're no longer a firearms distributor. You want to be seen in public with me? I'm not going to be seen in public with you.
By the way, in case people didn't know, they're based in Fort Worth, Texas. So this was a Texas company that did that too, of all companies. That shocked me.
Dick's the same thing. I went on their Facebook wall, posted, sorry, you don't want to be associated with me? I'm not going to do business with you. And I had people post, well, you know, that's just your opinion. Yep. Well, just because they don't want to do that doesn't mean you don't have to shop there anymore. It just means that they're not going to sell rifles. No, all your decisions have consequences. Well, they have the right to make their own. Yes, they have the right to make their own decision. And I have my right to not do business with them anymore. So it's that simple. Economics is that dark, dismal science, because it's a real, real, I want to say a bad word here, but it starts with a B, and the numbers never lie. It's just the way it is.
That's right. They don't. Well, good. This is good stuff, Ben. This is probably a good stopping point. We kind of covered a variety of topics, but that's okay because I wanted to cover a variety. I bet you and I probably have covered a lot of things that people are thinking about right now. I just want to close. I'll give you the last word, but I want to close with this. Get active, folks. Get active, get active, get active, and don't let up. Don't let up until every bill is defeated. Don't stop. And it's more than just firing out an email. I remember Eric Shelton did this when he was still doing the handgun podcast. He ran some kind of a contest where he encouraged people to physically go to their congressman's office. You know, that was fabulous. Do that. Go to your congressman's office, or at the bare minimum, call. And if you get a busy signal, you probably will. Keep calling until you get through. You know, join the NRA. Join the Second Amendment Foundation. Get active as you possibly can, and push back. Last word, Ben.
Make the other side make this an all or nothing game. Don't give an inch. if they want confiscation, they want to come down and take your guns, make them put that in the law. Don't give them 1 inch. Don't say, oh, well, instead of confiscation, we'll accept 10 round magazines. No, we need to draw a line in the sand and say, this is it, no further. Because sooner or later, it's going to happen. You know, this time they saber rattle about confiscation and they don't do it, so they get a 10 round magazine ban. And the next time this happens, because it's going to happen again, I'm sorry. I know human history. I've studied it. There's freaking evil in the world that you just can't imagine unless you're standing there looking at it. And this is one of those things. It's going to happen again. Next time they'll want gun registration. And then next time they'll want gun confiscation. And then next time and next time and next time. Screw that. Make them do what they really want and draw that line in the sand. Let's it. You want to fight? Let's have the fight. And let's either be, we're either going to stand as a society or we're going to fall as a society. This is going to be, like I said in the beginning, it's either going to be a footnote in history like everything else, or this could be the catalyst that ends it all. I'm tired of doing little pansy crappy things.
Let's just make this a footnote in history.
Yeah, and let's stand up and say this is the point where that's it. There's 20,000 laws on the books. You ain't putting a freaking another one. We're done with that crap.
Excellent. Ben Branham, thanks again for coming on. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, guys, for listening. I know I got a little upset. I've tried not. This was a really hard subject for me. I used to hunt these guys, and it used to be easier when I was hunting them because I got to go out and, you know, I'd study this, but I studied this because I could go kill these people. And now I can't do that anymore, so it makes it even harder for me to look at this. So I appreciate you letting me be venting a little bit.
For people who don't know what he's talking about, you're talking about your combat experience.
Yeah, when I was part of an anti-terrorism force and with the Marine Corps for 10 years and active combat, plus as a contractor overseas for the Army. Yeah, I got to hunt these guys, and I didn't mind studying them when I got to hunt them because I got to make them go away. Now it's as a self-defense person, I can't do that anymore. I gotta study it to survive, and it stinks. I get worked up over it. So thanks for letting me vent. Sorry if I use some bad words, and I'll work on that for you.
No, I don't think you have to work on it. I think people appreciated it. I did, sitting here listening to it firsthand. So Ben, thanks again.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you guys for listening.
All right, many thanks to Ben Branham. I appreciate all the time that he gives. And if you like what you hear when he's on this program, he's an excellent firearms trainer, too. And I do my best, too. So don't forget about the classes coming up and also my Suarez International classes, especially close-range gunfighting. That's an awesome, awesome course. It basically changed my whole entire outlook on protecting myself with a handgun. Folks, thanks for tuning in to episode 213 of the Handgun World podcast. I'm Bob Main. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Remember, the loudest sound that a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.